Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Trans-Europe Express podcast with me, Danny Kelly. Alongside me for this podcast is Rob Daly, European football super brain. Loads and loads and loads to discuss as things change very quickly in the football leagues up and down Europe. We'll also be previewing the upcoming Champions League and Europa League games that are coming up this week. And as you'll hear, this is a podcast of a live show. We'll try and break the show up in order to bring you coverage of the extraordinary events in Greek football. We often have a laugh about Greek football, but as you'll hear in the course of the podcast, it's gone way, way over the line this weekend. Hope you enjoy it. If you do, leave some positive comments on iTunes. And if you don't like it, keep well away from those comment pages on iTunes. Please do that for me. Hope you enjoy the show.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Danny Kelly's Trans-Europe Express on Talk Sport.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on the Trans-Europe Express. Thanks to Andy and the gang for the final word as well. I'm Danny Kelly. During the next 2 hours, myself and my super talented Rocket Man, we'll come back to that a little later, of a co-host, Rob Daly, will try and take you all around European football during the last few days, and we'll preview this week's action in the Champions League and the Europa League. We've got a European cult hero from the mists of time for you. We've got some musical homework. Simon Calder's World Cup travel report continues with the city of Saransk. If you've got tickets for Saransk, you might want to hear that, and not necessarily in a good way. We'll get the World Cup scouting report from Rob Daly and the goals they go in for tonight's big games. Inter Milan against Napoli, Toulouse against Marseille, and Bilbao versus Leganes. Poll for you as well about the next PSG manager. All of that is going to be squeezed incredibly and unlikely without the safety net that we can't afford here at TalkSport into just 2 hours. You're listening to Trans-Europe Express. I'm Danny Kelly. He's Rob Daly. You're listening Millions. Brilliant to have you along for the ride. So it's a big hello, obviously, to Rob Daly. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Danny.
You've been, I take it, back to Germany or somewhere. You've been travelling since I last saw you.
Got back this morning after covering the worst game I've done this season.
Which was?
Hertha 0, Freiburg 0.
Well, let us make sure we don't mention that in
Please.
Our roundup of Germany.
I'm very happy with that.
Have you been out with any footballing celebrities? Are you like Mark Langham? Langdon, do you make yourself busy in the nightclubs and fleshpots of continental Europe with long retired superstars, as he does?
I do. I have some good ones.
Who's your biggest superstar friend?
What night out friend?
No, just your biggest superstar football friend.
I don't have any superstar friends. It's sad.
Uli Hoeneß. Do you ever go for a pint with Uli Hoeneß?
No, me and Uli. We don't speak as much.
No. Effenberg?
We fell out. It was pretty bad. Over a woman, of course.
Very good, very good. All right, let's start with Italy then. I mean, first of all, has there been any goals in our three big games? Yes, there has. I see that it was only less than 20 minutes into the game in Madrid. It's Atletico. That's Bilbao, actually. Which game is that?
Yeah, it's Bilbao Leganes, 2-0.
Yeah.
And Raul Garcia has both goals.
Got both goals, thank you. And we'll keep you across the rather more important games involving Toulouse and Marseille. And, of course, the one from Italy, Inter Milan and Naples. Which is 15 minutes in, 0-0. Very important game for both sides. Let us start, though, indeed in Italy, and take the tone that we started the show with and do a handbrake turn with it, because I think much of it It's Italian football. The shadow cast by the death of the Fiorentina captain continues to be the centrepiece of Italian football this weekend.
Yeah, so we had the funeral of Davide Storey, Fiorentina captain, on just after Spurs' game against Juve in the Champions League. Spurs beaten by Juve, and Juve's players immediately flew to Florence for the funeral. Thousands attended in the city centre. And a round of applause for the Juve players when they turned up, unthinkable in Florence, because they're their most hated rivals. And after that as well, then we had Fiorentina having to actually play football today against Benevento.
Now, how did that work out? What was going on in the stadium and all the rest of that?
They had an incredible tifo, first of all, of purple, red and white banners that read just Davide 13 down when into the stadium. They had an extended silence as well in memory of their captain. There was also a banner that the fans had that they'd made that said, "There are men who never die. There are stories that are passed on through eternity. Bon voyage, captain."
And that's the reason why our headline for the Italian coverage this edition of Trans Europe Express is "Ciao for the last time." Because there seemed to be it's very hard to imagine, because you don't want to name names, a similar sort of player and a similar sort of tragedy here in England. But so far, Italy and the Italian football have shown themselves. So far, all I've seen is absolutely fantastic and very tasteful response to Storey's death.
It's interesting because so many of the players, obviously a lot of people are going to say nice things about you in times like this, but
I wouldn't count on that, Rob, when you go.
Well, that's very true. Ask Stefan Effenberg and he'll say a crossword or two.
That must have been a great fight between ginger men fighting.
People don't like to see that.
No, they don't.
I think, you know, you look at the amount of Italian head coaches, national team head coaches, who continually picked him. He's never been a outright starter for the Italian
He's up against some of the greatest central defenders of the modern era, isn't he?
I think they all know the value of him in the dressing room. And sure, it was his first season as Fiorentina captain, and he hadn't even really been there that long in terms of things. You know, I think we're talking 3 seasons for Storey at Fiorentina. But I think it says a lot about the way that all his teammates have spoken about him. And he had something, what you'd almost call a state funeral, what he had in Florence in the week. And in the piazza where they had the funeral as well, it was interesting. At the start of the day, merchants turned up trying to flog a Storey shirt. And they got hounded out of town by the supporters, who said, "This is not the time to be trying to make money from this occasion." And look, we've seen the tears from the players. We've seen the minute silence in the recent games in the Champions League in Serie A. It's going to be one of the defining stories of the season. And for many of those players, it will be the defining story of their career. But for Fiorentina, what was interesting about the game, I mean, football can be so ridiculously poetic at times. So they beat Benevento 1-0 today, a game they're expected to win. The winning goal was scored by the man who replaced a Storey in the team, and they even did like a little salute to a shirt of him during the game. As an incredible result. They managed to hold on for 1-0 after Vitor Hugo's goal, and Fiorentina get a win in what must be the most trying circumstances.
And of course, we had the situation there where the game started in complete silence. I don't know whether it was a continuation of the silence by the fans or just another mark of respect, but they played the first few minutes because I happened to be watching it out in total silence in the ground, and then people start to get into it, and support their team. Well, thank you for all of that. And if that's one set of reactions, what's the reaction been in Italy to Juventus? I think you could argue in the second leg, defying the odds, making their way through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Spurs for the better team for, I want to say, 80% of the tie.
I agree with that.
Something like that. But this is, and it sounds like a lazy cliche to say this is what Juve does, but more than any team in Europe, and we've seen it over the past few months, they haven't been scintillating or breathtaking, but they just get wins. And they just did it with that, what was it, 3 minutes of madness, essentially, when Dybala and Higuain sort of worked some magic. And sure, they did it the weekend before against Lazio as well. They just continually get results. And I think in Italy, they're not surprised that Juve did it, even though they weren't the better side over the two legs.
Okay, well, what about this weekend? They're back to winning ways as well.
Yeah, 2-0 win over Udinese, 2 goals for Paolo Dybala. He's been a bit hit and miss this year. He's had very good runs where he scored week in, week out, and then he's had quiet spells. His first was this glorious free kick. Now, you don't want to give a free kick away. Right-hand side of the D of your own penalty area, because Dybala will score every single one of them, swept it over the wall. And then, much like Higuain supplied Dybala at Wembley,
They basically did the same thing again, except much closer to goal this time for Dybala's second. Higuain missed a penalty, but for Juve, it puts the pressure on Napoli because they're top of the table as things stand. Napoli currently playing at Inter at 0-0. And Juve just look like they're galloping towards the finishing line, as they do every season.
Well, that's the critical. That's the reason why I say this game is going on over your shoulder. You've got it in front of you as well. There's 21 minutes gone there. It's Inter 0, Napoli 0. And Napoli, you know, they're a fantastic challenge to a Juventus team that most people would have expected to walk away with the league again this year. It's not an absolute must-win game, but the sight of Juventus top of the table heading in towards Easter would make anyone nervous. So Naples probably do need to get something out of this game. Say 0-0 after 21 minutes.
I think Marseille have just scored as well, Danny. It looks like I think it's Lucas Ocampos who's got the goal for Marseille. They lead Toulouse by a goal to nil. He actually scored a couple in the week in the Europa League against Athletic Bilbao. Play very well supplied by Dimitri Payet. This is a corner not cleared by Toulouse into the penalty area. It just breaks very kindly to him, and he just smashes it from a couple of yards out. So Marseille 1, Toulouse 0.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Meanwhile, in Italy, let's talk about, we can say it, Roma on Friday beat Torino pretty handily. AC Milan, they won at Genoa after that poor defeat by Arsenal during the week. But a lot of talk around there about Donnarumma. Not directly about him, but as a result of some other talk.
Exactly, if you put the pieces of the jigsaw together. So AC Milan have come out and said that we have asked for Napoli's permission essentially to speak to Pepe Reina, who I think is out of contract at the end of the season. So he's 35. So Milan want to add a goalkeeper. Now, they signed a backup goalkeeper last summer in Donnarumma's brother when all the contract stuff was happening. So now, are they looking to sign Pepe Reina to be first choice? You'd think so. He's first choice at Napoli. Why would he want to leave? Therefore, do they expect Donnarumma to move on?
What's your feeling?
Well, there's been rumours about PSG this week. A lot of the talk, I mean, we'll get on to PSG and the French media is clamouring for new players for PSG to sign. But goalkeeper is one of the positions that PSG are reportedly looking at. I'd be surprised if Donnarumma went there. I still think he'll eventually be Buffon's replacement at Juventus. And I think he will leave at some point. But you're having to pay serious dollar to get him out of Milan.
And at the bottom of the table, a very unexpected and massive win for Crotone.
They won 4-1 against Sampdoria, who were just sort of flirting with European qualification this season. And it takes current Crotone up to 16th. Few teams all on 24 that sort of drop into the relegation zone. But a massive, massive result for them. And also around the relegation zone, Sassuolo won, Spal won. Those teams 17th and 18th respectively. Probably doesn't help them.
But Verona's victory is huge here as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. That was a Verona derby. They beat Chievo by a goal to nil on Saturday.
Which keeps them, although second from bottom, in the race to avoid relegation. And drags Chievo right back into it.
Exactly. So I would argue, looking at the league table here, Danny, have we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams?
Up to Cagliari, certainly.
So that's 6 teams all looking to avoid relegation. Benevento down with 10 points, basically. So, yeah, it's close.
And speaking of Cagliari, a doping scandal surrounding one of their players?
Yeah, that's right. So it's João Pedro who has been penalised for drug doping. He's been suspended indefinitely. It's something to do with a spray that they use, and I think a couple of other players that the doctors give the players. I'm not quite sure what it's used for, but that's what has led to him being banned currently.
Indefinitely?
I think the investigation, because
there isn't a legal system in the world will allow you to be banned indefinitely at the present moment. People might well say if you have been doping, that it would be an appropriate punishment. But at the moment, I don't think that's possible. And we'll keep an eye on that story. I think that's everything. We have rattled through everything that's happening in Italy, except for picking a star of the week.
Oh, yeah, it's Ciro Immobile. So he's on
virtually every week is Ciro Immobile, isn't it? Let's be honest.
24 goals now. And Lazio were away at Cagliari, 95th minute. A drilled low cross into the penalty area. And he backheels it in the air, sort of Giroud Mkhitaryan-esque, and loops it over the goalkeeper for an equaliser. It finished 2-2. Incredible.
Disappointing result, though, for Lazio.
It is a disappointing result. I mean, they dropped to fourth, I think it is, in the live league table as things stand. Inter can go above them with a result against Napoli this evening. A disappointing result, certainly, for the Rome side.
Thank you very much indeed. When we come back, I'll tell you about our poll, our music homework, and we get the latest from Spain and the latest from the astonishing career of Sergio Ramos, this time as he goes to the toilet. Those of you who are regular listeners will know that the producer of this show is obsessed with Jamiroquai. Therefore, any music homework that can be hijacked is. This, of course, is Jamiroquai and Cosmic Girl. Cosmic Girl, yeah. Thank you very much indeed. Our songs today, our music homework is for songs about space, planets, space travel, etc. Because during the week, Zinedine Zidane described Cristiano Ronaldo as being from another galaxy. So plenty of songs to choose from. Space, planets, etc. 81089, you can text them. Tweet me directly at Danny Kelly Words.
Danny,
I forgot, when I was doing making some suggestions, I forgot Cosmic Dancer by T-Rex. Don't forget that.
Is the Jamiroquai thing about Pat a joke? Or is that real?
No, it's his favourite.
I honestly thought it was a joke.
I think sometimes they meet in the park and hold hands. I mean,
Pat,
it's unbelievable.
Is it true? You're obsessed with Jamiroquai. I didn't know that.
Why is that so funny?
Because I just don't know anyone who's obsessed with Jamiroquai.
Well, there is his smiling visage through the
honestly,
glass.
Honestly, sorry, mate. Yep, good.
Okay, meanwhile, we've got a poll for you tonight. I mean, it looks pretty likely that Unai Emery is on his way out of Paris Saint-Germain, particularly after that. Well, what was that performance against Real Madrid? We'll come on to that very, very soon. But who should be the next manager of Paris Saint-Germain? It's a huge job, of course. And the names on our list are Antonio Conte, Maurizio Pochettino, former player, of course, Arsene Wenger, French, therefore somehow in the running, and Diego Simeone, after 1 million years in charge of Atletico Madrid. Conte, Pochettino, Wenger, Simeone, and the three places you can vote for that, at TalkSport on Twitter, at Danny Kelly Words on Twitter, and at Rob T. Daly on Twitter. Vote there. Now, let's move on to Spain, which is, of course, where we got the music homework from, and our headline is No Missing Messi. No Missing Messi. And the great Argentinian forward indeed missed Barcelona's game at Malaga for the very nice reason of the birth of his son.
Certainly, yeah. Just a quick one, Danny. Before that, Toulouse have equalised. They're dancing in the stands in purple, and it's Toulouse 1, Marseille 1. We'll get the score for you in a moment, but a blow for Marseille days on from their Europa League victory. Ocampos actually put Marseille ahead in that game. So 1-1.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's Messi.
I mean, it's 2-0 to Atletico Bilbao against Leganés and 0-0 in the important game after half an hour in Italy between Inter and Napoli. Yes, talk to me about Messi.
So Lionel Messi missed the game at Malaga because he had the birth of his third child, Ciro Messi. Mm-hmm. Named after Ciro Immobile, I'm sure, for that back heel goal. He just thought that was so good. I've got to name him after that. And
I'm just thinking about Messi and Immobile playing up front for Argentina in the World Cup. Just a thought. Okay. I've got the wrong one, haven't I? Immobile is Italian, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Who's the other fella? Insigne is who will be playing up front with Messi. He's Italian as well. All right, forget it then. No, someone beginning with I want now, and otherwise I'm not going to have it.
So,
Icardi.
What
the one that's named after a jumper, yeah, of course. He's come. Do you know where I come back there? From the depths. Absolutely from the depths.
So Messi...
None of those Italian players will be playing in the World Cup, by the way.
So Messi...
I like the way you're suppressing your very high-pitched laugh this week.
Danny, I'm scared to
Have
do
you been
it.
In training?
I've just had my
Voice
mates
coaching.
Destroy me for it, so I'm just trying to stay away from it.
They must have heard it before.
Oh, they've heard it.
Yeah, okay.
Just not on national radio.
Okay.
So, played every week.
Let's go back to Barcelona. Yeah.
So, no Messi, no problem. Barcelona won 2-0 at Malaga. Goals from Luis Suarez, a fine first goal after a wonderful crossing from Jordi Alba, and then Felipe Coutinho before the half hour. We haven't got a word for that goal where you sort of flick it behind your other leg when it's crossed low into the box.
No.
I'm doing it for you now.
Demonstrating on radio, yeah. Go stand up and do it. Let me just have a quick look.
So, it comes across you.
Yeah.
And you flick it like that.
Okay, like Franco Zola's famous goal. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we do not have a name for that. Well, let's call it the Zola from now on. I'm being told by the Jamiroquai fan, or the Kanu.
Oh, Kanu's, it's more like the Kanu.
Yeah,
it's the Kanu. We'll call it the Kanu.
Okay, we're calling it the Kanu then.
The Kanu's good.
Hashtag Forza Kanu. Yeah, absolutely. a relatively straightforward victory for Barcelona. But Dembele starting to make more time in the team and starting to look, as they head into the closing stages of the season, particularly in the Champions League. We'll talk more about that a little later. Chelsea And Barcelona is live here on TalkSport in midweek. But he's coming. Look, it's a difficult first season for the fella, but he's coming back into fitness at least at the right, exactly
yeah.
the right time.
He is. And I mean, look, he's trying to come into a Barcelona side that has been pretty settled. Ernesto Valverde hasn't had to mix things up. It's Paulinho and Messi and Suarez sort of, you know, you got two up front and Paulinho driving on from midfield. And Dembele's an out and out winger. He's nothing else. So he played at the weekend. I think he's going to get a lot of game time towards the end of the season. He's yet to score, but they're seeing promise. He had a chance at the weekend against Malaga. He played in the Catalan Super Cup midweek, which is sort of friendly local derby thing that they play. Some of the Barcelona first team played, and we'll get onto that in a moment.
We will.
But it looks like he's coming good. And look, just another weapon for Barcelona. I think they will beat Chelsea, and we'll get onto that. But they need the reinforcements in the squad going into the closing weeks.
And we'll talk a little, just name me the name. Who was the last Englishman to play for Barcelona before this week?
So it was Gary Lineker.
Wow, that is a while ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was some other guy back in the old times.
Yeah, but
a long time
well,
ago.
Of course, Mark Hughes and one or two Welsh people.
Sure, yeah.
But it's a long time since anybody with an English passport played for Barcelona, but it happened during the week.
Marcus McQueen, who was at Arsenal, he left back in January, the 19-year-old said he wasn't getting enough opportunities. Did play a couple of times in the Europa League. And technically, he hasn't quite played for the Barcelona first team yet because the Catalan Super Cup is, you know, it's not a real first team game. But he came on in that. Defensive midfielder. He's been signed essentially to play for Barcelona B. And his head coach in Barcelona B, Gerard Lopez, has been really praising him since his arrival from Arsenal. He's played a few games now and says he's the complete player. What he needs to understand now is a touch more calmness on the ball and to understand the positional play of Barcelona. And, you know, bold move from him, a great move for him. What was interesting as well, Danny, when he was talking about he's done some training with the first team now, and, you know, you've got Messi there and you've got Suarez and you've got Coutinho, you've got all these great players. And he said Coutinho had a chat with him when he first arrived, but the player he picked out was Sergio Busquets as the one he was like, wow, look at this guy. And I suppose as a defensive midfielder,
World Cup winner, Champions League winner,
exactly.
European Championship winner, we should go on. Let's talk about Real Madrid. Although a 2-1 win at Eibar looks like fairly normal business as well, contrasting but headline-grabbing days for both Cristiano Ronaldo and Sergio Ramos.
Do you want Ronaldo first?
Yes, because it's not as funny as Sergio Ramos.
So Ronaldo was an absolute monster this weekend. A tricky away game, you know, Eibar floating around the European places.
Absolutely.
Ronaldo scored two of the most just brutal, ruthless goals you'll see this season. His first one, Eibar gave it away in midfield. Luka Modric picks it up in the centre circle. Outside to the right foot, floated ball around the fullback. Chest down, smash. Second one, goal, header, 6 minutes from time. He came out of nowhere, no one was marking him. Smashed it past the goalkeeper. It was brilliant. And that's why Zinedine Zidane was just trying to find new superlatives. I suppose another planet, another galaxy does it.
That is the background to our music choices tonight. Zidane did say he was from another galaxy. So songs about space, planets, etc. 81089, you can text your request to or direct to me at Danny Kelly Words on Twitter. Meanwhile, Cristiano Ronaldo's longtime teammate, Sergio Ramos, how did he try to upstage his striking partner?
Well, actually, I suppose it's our second La Liga link to Gary Lineker this evening, and that Sergio Ramos, on 73 minutes, with the score at 1-1, said to the referee, "I need to leave." And he headed down the tunnel and came back 5 minutes later, completely fine. And he needed to go for a number two. Zinedine Zidane confirmed this at full time. Now, would you take yourself off as a sub, or would you back yourself enough to come back on after that?
If I was Zinedine Zidane, when a game where they're only
it was 1-1 at the time.
Yes, I mean, but it shows that they're not really that bothered anymore about La Liga. That's gone for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have the players strolling off to spend a penny, as they used to say. Sergio Ramos, he is a one, isn't he? A massive win for Valencia.
Yes, and we're going to be seeing them back in the Champions League. So they have now an 11-point gap over Sevilla. 2-0 win at Sevilla. Two goals from
Amazing
Rodrigo,
result.
Who will be hoping to go to the World Cup with Spain. Much credit to Valencia's goalkeeper, Neto, who made so many great saves.
Valencia's got a goalkeeper called Neto.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, good. And Glovesy is on the bench, is he?
I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth.
That is the best name for a goalkeeper since the French World Cup squad of the early 90s. Do you remember they went to the World Cup? I can't remember which one it was. With three goalkeepers called Rust, Bats and Dropsy. They have Rust, Bats and Dropsy as their three goalkeepers. That means the Champions League places in Spain are done, aren't they? Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid and Valencia.
Yeah, it's too big a gap. Sevilla, Villarreal now really looking for Europa League football, with Girona after another victory for them this weekend, just behind them in seventh.
Can you explain to me, Rob, how Valencia last season, a proper basket case of a team and a club, are now in the Champions League?
I'll give a lot of the credit to the head coach Marcelino, a coach with great experience of La Liga. I think Valencia were fortunate to get him. It's a big job, but you looked at that job and you thought, everything's, as you mentioned, basket case. He's just built a very good squad and they're not dependent on one player. I think that's key. You look at Rodrigo, 12 goals, Santi Mina, 11. Simone Zaza, who tried to headbutt someone's elbow to get them sent off for the weekend. Find that online. It's absolutely brilliant. They've just got a very good team, if truth be told, from the goalkeeper, your good friend Neto, right through Gonzalo Guedes, good defenders, Gabriel Paulista playing a lot since arriving from Arsenal. They're just good, and that's why they're fourth.
Okay, and we should mention as well that Atletico Madrid beat Celta 3-0. Antoine Griezmann, absolutely brilliant again, but the stories don't go away now that Barcelona more and more likely to be his place of choice.
I think if he's going, I mean, for a long time I really did think that Manchester United was the place, and I still think there's a spot for him at Manchester United as a starter. But it still seems to linger around Barcelona. But they've spent a lot of money. Dembele and Coutinho, two massive transfer fees. They've spent €30 million today on Arthur from Brazil, a new midfielder that they're bringing in the next transfer window, I think.
And so, if they don't sell one of their forwards, I don't see the saleable assets that they could, because of either a mixture of age or undesirability, they're going to have trouble balancing their books for the fair play. Who's your star of the week in...
It was Rodrigo for his two brilliant goals against Sevilla, the Valencia striker, who's having a fine season. And he needs it. There's opportunities up front for Spain at the World Cup. He'll be looking to take one.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for that. You're listening to Trans-Europe Express here on a Sunday night with me, Danny Kelly, and Rob Daly. Next up, in the next 15 minutes, we'll be looking at a very busy and fantastically weird weekend, of course, in French football. And I shall be thinking of more Italian players that I fantasise about playing up front with Lionel Messi in the World Cup. Well done, everybody. Straight to the heart of the matter. The greatest ever song about space. Another Girl, Another Planet by the mighty, mighty Only Ones from back in the day. Any song that starts with the words, space travels in my blood. You know you're going somewhere. I'll tell you what I'll do until we get to the chorus. I'll give you the latest from our poll. Go to our poll at Danny Kelly Words, at Talk Sport, at Rob T. Daly, isn't it, as well. Here's the poll. Who should be the next manager of PSG? At the moment, it's 16% Pochettino, 17% Simeone, 29% Wenger, and 38% say Antonio Conte. Sam Hurley says, what, no Mourinho? Stuart, who's probably a Southampton fan, says, Pellegrino, please. Mitchell says, Ancelotti or Enrique. And Jed says, what about Zidane? I mean, you gave us these four names, Rob. There's 100 people who could be the next manager of PSG.
I know, but Twitter only lets you have four, doesn't it? Okay. I'm literally playing the rules of social media.
Vote now on Twitter. These are the only ones. For these slightly younger listeners, if you ever wondered where the Libertines got it from, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Nothing wrong with that, of course. Have the right influences,
no,
I say.
Absolutely.
Peter Peretz and the Only Ones, Another Girl, Another Planet. More music very, very soon. Okay, you wrote this headline, good for you. We have a Lille problem. Very good, like Eli Wallach. The Spanish accent of Eli Wallach in the spaghetti western. We have a Lille. Oh, it's also Scarface, isn't it? Say hello to my little
friend.
We have a little problem. Okay. You're talking about Lille, that magnificently nutty club in France. What's the latest?
Well, okay, so we'll do Marcelo Bielsa in a minute, who's still kicking around for his 15,
former manager,
16 million euros.
Went there under some kind of strange circumstances, sacked after he went home to a funeral in Argentina. now suing the club, but we'll talk about that later. But actually much more serious stuff going on at the club itself.
So they drew 1-1 with Montpellier at the weekend. They now find themselves 1 point adrift to safety in the relegation zone in 19th. Now remember, this is a club that won the league title only in 2011 with Eden Hazard as part of the side. So it finished 1-1. And incredible scenes, really, is fans ran onto the pitch and started trying to kick the Lille players, so the hurling abuse at them. The Lille players head down the tunnel. Nicolas Pepe, who actually scored Lille's goal, was the focus of much of the vitriol from the supporters. And then there was just a crowd of about, I'd say, a couple of hundred outside the tunnel, and the players sort of barricaded them in. I mean, Lille's Yacine Benzia said it was, for the younger players especially, locked in the change room, they thought they were going to get in. They were pretty scared. And, you know, we've seen scenes at West Ham this weekend.
Well, they sound tame by comparison with this.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. I mean, I think it was more like caught them all off guard. I mean, look, a draw at home to Montpellier is not the kind of result they need. Montpellier mid-table. They need to start winning games to get themselves out of trouble. I think it's just a general feeling, particularly since Gerard Lopez took over at the football club, that things have just gone completely awry. There was so much hope a few months ago with Bielsa and the money spent and the new training ground and everything, and it's just gone completely wrong.
And then Marcelo Bielsa, who I often speak very, very highly of, but I think not only has he been a great coach, but he's set up a whole generation of great coaches who are disciples of his. But he's lost the first part. And, of course, the French legal system is, how can we put it, not like ours. Just because he's lost the first part of the case doesn't mean he's going to lose all of it.
Exactly.
What's happened?
So Bielsa was suing Lille for effectively the remainder of his contract, looking at something like €16 million, which would effectively put the club into administration. Lille have already been told, no matter where you finish, if you haven't balanced the books, we're going to relegate you. Bielsa left back in December and was looking for sort of, the reports vary from €15 to €18 million.
Yeah.
He lost the first legal procedure. And it was because Lille's lawyer said, because he asked for such a preposterous amount of money, he's actually been ordered to pay Lille $300,000.
I love that.
So obviously, like you said, not done. You know, we've got Lille, Bielsa and his lawyers will appeal it.
Yeah. Anyone who watches Spiral know that the French legal system, it's a mystery to the mind of even the most intelligent person. Let's move on to what I think is the bigger story really in France this week, because it's going to have massive repercussions at the club. What's been the reaction in the country to PSG's, I thought, bloodless removal from the Champions League by Real Madrid? It was surgical, and PSG for the second season running like children against one of the big teams.
I think that's why there's been particular dismay. I mean, look, the Barcelona thing was just a complete shock to the gut. This is just overwhelming disappointment. You let us down, the front page of L'Équipe, all that for that.
Yeah.
The front page of Le Parisien, lots of summer transfer business on the way was their headlines, something along those lines. Unai Emery, before this weekend's game against Metz, was booed and whistled before the game. Julian Draxler in the week, one of his players, utterly dismayed that Emery didn't bring him on earlier. They've sort of wound that back a little bit. Emery said his quotes were taken out of context. But clearly, just a complete mess. And Unai Emery, even though he's on his way to a treble, will not be there next season.
I mean, it really was, we're talking about the Champions League, but we're going to look forward to games rather than look back. It really was a poor performance, wasn't it?
I think you were even saying how excited you were for that game, like how well poised it was.
I got myself established in an armchair. And
what's
ready
the
to watch
establishment
a great game
involved?
Of football. What is it? Tea, yeah. At the moment, and my sister, because I was over in Ireland, bringing me biscuits, which was a surprise, but only added to the anticipation of the game. Chocolate chip cookies, if you don't mind. But the game itself was a total letdown. I found my attention wandering from a top game of football because I could see nothing but Madrid winning.
No, it never felt like PSG would get it. I mean, so they went into it needing two goals. What I didn't understand was, so Ronaldo scores that goal early in the second half and the whole place went flat and PSG think we're out. And you're like, well, the situation's not that different. You just need to start scoring goals.
And also, if you learned anything from the Barcelona debacle last season, that the home team, if it gets the crowd going, can do amazing things.
I mean, we saw the ultras in there creating an incredible atmosphere, flares down one end of the stadium, relentless noise, I think, until the goal. And everything just went completely flat. And I think, you know, no Neymar, obviously a factor. Mm-hmm. Would Neymar playing have made a massive difference? I actually don't think so. There was ill discipline through the team. Verratti sending off. Rabiot not tracking Verratti, for the second
Verratti
goal.
Verratti should be bombed out of the club. That was just ludicrous in that situation. I mean, yeah. Maybe I'm overreacting, but it was a ludicrous sending off. Whatever chance they had in the game was completely taken away.
Oh, that
away.
Killed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Proper stupidity. PSG, by the way, won 5-0 at Metz this weekend, but nobody, I guess, would have really cared much, except for Christopher Nkunku. Is that the man's name?
Yeah, 20-year-old who played a little bit last season. He's now had two starts in a row in the league because there's been a Neymar's injury, Cavani, Mbappe not fully fit in recent weeks. He's had two starts in a row, three goals, got two in the 5-0 home win over Metz at the weekend. Timothy Ware got another 20 minutes. You and Andy were speaking about him last week, I think. What was it? You know, Kylian Mbappe's been talking as well. He scored in the game, but he was mainly asked about Real Madrid again after the match. He said, mentally, we did as well as we could, which I think is an indictment on the squad and on Unai Emery as head coach.
And yeah, they need a proper superstar manager, proven winner, if I might use that phrase, in there to because they've got so much money, they've got so many good players. Something's not right with their yeah. when they come up again. And of course, it's not helped by the fact that they don't have any real opposition in the French league. I don't think that's a help either. Monaco, speaking of which, won 3-1 on Friday. That virtually guarantees them that victory at Strasbourg.
Yeah, they have such a comfortable advantage now over Lyon in fourth. So Lyon in fourth are now 9 points behind them. Monaco, yeah, they're pretty comfortable. Radamel Falcao coming back from injury. Stefan Jovetic has been scoring in recent weeks. So a 3-1 victory at Strasbourg on Friday night. And it's pivotal for Monaco to be in the Champions League for their transfer model of telling the best teenagers in world football, you come here, you'll play in the Champions League and we'll flog you for eight times the amount and you'll earn eight times the amount. So they have to qualify for the Champions League, really.
And if Marseille can win tonight, that would really be set a long way to establishing the automatic qualifiers for the Champions League. They are drawing 1-1 at the moment with Toulouse in Stade de Toulouse. The other team are very much in the running for that, of course, are Lyon, where, of course, there's another club you can... Well, after those wonderful, wonderful years where... They won the title year after year after year and look like the most beautifully run club in continental Europe. It's not the same anymore. They got their first win home to Caen since Muggate, which we described last week. But that wasn't even the beginning of the events down there, was it?
No, it was very funny this week. So I think they've got a camera planted in the press conference room at Lyon. And midfielder Lucas Toussaint came in for his pre-match press conference, sat down at the desk, as you do, and there was no journalists in any of the chairs. So he sort of looks a bit confused, and then one of the journalists comes out and reads a prepared statement on behalf of all the journalists to say, because Jean-Michel Aulas has been fairly critical of the press and the way they've been treating the team, the things they've been writing about, and the guy just... you've got to find this video online because it's subtitled in English, and he's just like... Basically, we're sick of it and we're not going to the press conference. So they all leave and Toussaint sits there and goes, well, I'll just go then. Just gets up, just leaves the room and that's that. So, yeah, very funny. I mean, Lyon, look, still in the hunt for the Champions League. Will be in Europe next season, but hit and miss this season for sure.
And very quickly, the lace on Mario Balotelli, hashtag Forza Mario. Nice winning handily 5-2 today. But no goals for Mario.
No, he didn't play.
Right.
And this comes on to my hero of the week. Alassane Player, who scored
four times.
He's moving
the show forward. I like that. That's very good.
Four goals for Alassane Player in that game. He's my hero of the week. He showed great glimpses last season, was linked with bigger clubs. Another standout performance from him in that 5-2 win at Gancomp.
And some quite big clubs looking at Mario Balotelli and hoping to nab him for nothing at the end of his contract, which is this summer. Disappointing news for them in something he said.
Yeah, he quotes show that he wants to go back to Italy. And he said that going back to Milan for a third time is probably not the best option. So he sort of fancies Juve or Napoli, just the best two teams in Italy.
Yeah,
if you don't mind.
Good
I'll
luck with that then.
One of those.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. That's the latest from France. And coming up next, we'll be talking about what's going on in Germany. And remember, you've got your music homework and the poll. Go and vote in the poll at TalkSport, at Danny Kelly Words, and at Rob T Daily on Twitter. Germany next. I'm going to send him to outer space. Continuing our songs about space, Prodigy, of course, and outer space. itself, a cover of Max Romeo's song, Back in the Day Out of Jamaica. Keep your song coming in, please, your requests. 81089 and at Danny Kelly Words. And, of course, I love that music fans are as angry as ever. Rob Daly, someone's actually phoned in to the station.
What?
Greg, well done, Greg. Phoned in to have a go at you taking the mickey out of Jamiroquai.
Well, I didn't take the mickey out. I took the mickey out of Pat.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much matched the it same thing, doesn't it? I normally like to back you, Rob, but if I might quote Robert De Niro from Goodfellas, yeah, you insulted him just a little bit. Just a little okay. bit.
It's fair enough, fair enough.
When they mash up Billy Bats, just a little bit, just a little bit. Keep those requests coming, please. We'll play as much good music as we can. Time now to go to talk about what happened in your patch of European football, Germany, and your headline is... Rollicking Rolls Royce arrives relentlessly to Russia.
Oh, you've had it one.
I've had it 2 hours. I've had it 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
I
one.
I really have. Because we'll come on to Marco Royce in just a second. I suppose we should make the note that Bayern, who we follow, of course, Hamburg, who are one of our real kind of obsessions here on Trans-Europe Express, because this is the year they really are going to go down, I think. 6-0 whacking in the Allianz Arena for them.
I knew it. I never bet, Danny, but this one, I saw the Bayern team, Jupp Heynckes put out his strongest 11. So they're through in the Champions League in the week, 5-0 up against Besiktas. And I think Bayern just looked at it and went, oh, we'd love to just absolutely thump these today. And they even missed a penalty in there. Robert Lewandowski scored 3, even had time to miss a penalty and all that. His first penalty miss, he'd scored his previous 17, which I think is pretty impressive. But absolutely brilliant. 2 goals for Franck Ribéry, 1 for Arjen Robben. Easy peasy, 20 points clear at the top of the league.
And as you know, our plan is when they go down, the big clock that's in the Hamburg Stadium that shows how long they've been in the top level of German football, i.e. forever, we're going to make a bid for it and have it here in the studio.
What do you think, I mean, the arrogance to put that in the stadium in the first place is unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, it's asking for it, isn't it?
You'd and jinx touch wood every like 2 seconds of your life after you put that in the stadium. It's unbelievable. Well. But it'd look great in here. It would look fantastic.
Well,
in here.
We've got the standard radio clock. Every radio studio has them. But if we could do it on a massive clock that had been in the Hamburg
Stadium, what would you do? So that was obviously how long they've been in the Bundesliga. What for TalkSport? What would be the best like a clock? Ticking down to like the last thing that did, like, you know, the trademark thing in an office last time we had an accident. What was the TalkSport thing?
The last time I got up to do the breakfast show at 5:10 because Alan couldn't do it. Cheltenham next week. I'm going to sleep in my clothes. Or the last time that I mistook all those Italian and Argentinian forwards whose names begin with an I. Absolutely.
Sleep in your clothes, good.
I do. When it's Cheltenham, I sleep in my clothes. Get it out of the way, yeah. Talk to me about Marco Royce then. A real change here. Clubs talking about buying him, contract coming to an end, constantly injured. Suddenly he's back in the Bayern team, in the Dortmund team. He's doing well, and he signed a new contract.
New contract to 2023.
So that's essentially the end of his career.
Yeah. He's been out for the last 8 months with a knee injury. He's come back in recent weeks. The thing with Marco Royce is he goes away, has these long injury runs, and he comes back, and he looks so sharp. There's no bedding in period. It's instantaneous, on the level of the game, scoring goals, captain the side since his return, approaching 200 appearances since he went back to Dortmund when he was a kid. They got rid of him, thought he wasn't good enough. Deep down, I think when he's fully fit, he's definitely in the Germany 11. He's one of Germany's 2 or 3 best players. But you can't rely on him because, you know, he gets crocked. Great interview with him this week on the Bundesliga website talking about how he's aiming for the World Cup. Him and Jogi Löw in constant communication. He definitely wants to bring him. He's missed a couple of major tournaments through injury. And he probably has missed his big, big club move. You know, you look at Hummels, Lewandowski, Götze. Everyone's had a go from Dortmund. Shinji Kagawa got his move to Manchester United. I think Royce has... You know, he's probably settled and happy. Granted, a good World Cup, maybe people would be talking about him. But I think he's going to stay at Dortmund for the foreseeable.
And the aforementioned Dortmund were involved in an extraordinary game with Frankfurt today.
So they were leading 1-0 at half-time, everything looking pretty comfortable. A Marco Reus' own goal, not Marco Royce, Marco Reus' own goal, putting them ahead after he was put under pressure by Marco Royce. That's right. And then in the second half, Frankfurt came out, made a tactical change. Jonathan de Guzman, former Swansea midfielder, came on, just added a bit more balance in midfield. They got themselves level through Jovic, brought on Batshuayi Dortmund. He scores.
Then Danny Blum scores a 90th minute equaliser for Frankfurt. This is a big Champions League game, by the
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Frankfurt are fifth at the moment, yeah.
And then Batshuayi scores again in added time. And Batshuayi, great goal-scoring start, of course, for Dortmund. But so much excitement about Goetze, Schürrle and Royce. They've been nicknamed Das Trio. Not the best.
You can do better than that.
You can do better than that, surely. Those three started up front today. They brought on Batshuayi and he got the business done.
Okay, well, let me just say that on the back of that, Bayern, of course, running away with it. In the race for the Champions League places, Schalke, who won this weekend, have got 46 points. Dortmund, who we just heard about there, have got 45. Leverkusen, who also won, have got 44. Frankfurt, who we heard about there, who lost, of course, that game in the last minute, have got 42. And Leipzig, who only drew this weekend, they've got 40. So 6 points covering the five teams behind Bayern Munich and three places in the Champions League. A fantastic race there. The other big story, I think, we've been paying particular attention to a player called Leon Bailey. Next big breakthrough player, perhaps, in the Bundesliga. Qualified to play for...
Well, this is the mystery now, Danny. Because everyone thought he qualifies for England, he qualifies for Malta, he qualifies for Belgium, he qualifies potentially for Germany. I don't know if he qualifies for any of them. Because I've been doing some digging. Been doing some digging, and I'm glad that we're coming up to a break very soon because there's a lot to get through here. But basically, he doesn't qualify for Belgium.
First of all, let me say, this man deserves some kind of medal. First of all, he's tried to work out the background to this Leon Bailey story, and later on, he will be bringing you what's about to happen in Belgium. And he claims to understand what's about to happen in Belgium, which each year is one of the highlights of Trans Europe Express. Now, Leon Bailey.
So he doesn't qualify, it would appear, for any of these. He's refusing to play for Jamaica currently. He's represented the under-23s once or something like that. His stepfather, also his agent, seems to have a hankering for a position within the Jamaican FA. He feels it's run unfairly. And I don't know if he's sort of using Leon Bailey as leverage into the FA by saying, Leon's not considering playing for you because of the setup. Maybe if you took on my ideas, Leon would consider otherwise. So at the moment, he's even said Leon Bailey might play for Germany. Now, in England, it's 5 years. I think Manuel Almunia, maybe Arteta even at points, were talked about spending enough time here. Cudicini, sure. Yeah. It's 8 years in Germany. So he'd be 27, 28 by the time he'd be eligible for Germany. It just seems like nonsense. And I think there's a lot of sort of politics going on with Leon Bailey's international future.
Why did we think he was qualified to play for England?
Because his grandparents are both have British passports, but weren't born in Britain.
So that doesn't qualify then?
Doesn't qualify. One of his grandfather fought in World War II. And, but because they weren't born in Britain, not enough. So I think he'd have to move here and play for 5 years.
So essentially it's Jamaica or residential qualification.
It would appear so.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Who's your star of the week in Germany?
Serge Gnabry. He'll be playing for Bayern next season. Great goal and a 3-0 win for Hoffenheim over Wolfsburg, which keeps him in the hunt for the Champions League. He's in wonderful form. I'd love to see him at the World Cup.
What's the chance of that, do you think? They've got a lot of forward talent, haven't they?
Marco Reus coming back doesn't help him, ironically. So I wouldn't back on Serge Gnabry definitely going to the World Cup.
Okay, let us just give you, before we go to another break, let me just tell you the scores in our three big games tonight. Well, in fact, the one in Portugal has also kicked off. I think it's still 0-0 between Paços de Ferreira and Porto. It's still Athletic Bilbao 2, Leganés 0, Inter Milan 0, Napoli 0. They just started the second half of that one. And the big game in France, Toulouse 1, Marseille 1. You're listening to Trans Europe Express. I'm Danny Kelly. He's Rob Daly. And as I often say, and I will say it because I mean it, Sunday night you could be doing a lot of things. We really love the fact that you're listening to this thing, this confection.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That we put together here on a Sunday evening.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Danny Kelly's Trans Europe Express on Talk Sport.
Welcome back to Trans Europe Express here on TalkSport. I'm Danny Kelly. Alongside me for the next hour, Rob Daly, Bundesliga commentator, European football expert, top man on the island in general. During the next 60 minutes, we'll review and preview everything that's happened in the Champions League and the Europa League this week. We've got a European cult hero for you, Simon Calder, Britain's leading travel reporter. We'll talk to you about another town or city in Russia where the World Cup will be happening. Don't forget, every game is live here on Talk Sport. And we'll bring you latest from Turkey, Portugal, Holland, Greece, Belgium, more about that later, Poland, and indeed Croatia. And then we'll have our World Cup preview. We'll draw two more teams out of a hat for Rob to make his pronouncements about their prospects and the players you should be looking out for. We've still got our poll ongoing. I'll tell you about that later. And more songs, please, about space and planets. It's going to be a magnificent hour. Welcome to Trans Europe Express. Thing is, Rob, we could spend a lot of time looking back on the Champions League and the Europa League. I actually rather look forward because there's so much going on this week. Let's start, if we may, on Tuesday with the games in the Champions League. Obviously, Manchester United's 0-0 draw in Sevilla makes them favourites, but those 0-0 draws have often had they've oftentimes in the past come back to bite teams, haven't they?
They certainly have. I think you know, we think back to the first leg and David De Gea's outstanding performance to keep Sevilla at bay. Not dissimilar to what we saw from Neto for Valencia this weekend in their 2-0 victory. Sevilla, when they've lost this season, they've had some absolute thumpings, and I'm actually hugely back in Manchester United to get through this tie. Sevilla with the disappointing loss to Valencia this weekend, which has killed their Champions League ambitions for qualifying again, unless they win this tournament. 0-0 is not a bad scoreline from home. You know, you score an away goal, you put a bit of pressure on United. But they come into this off the back of three massive wins. If you're thinking Chelsea, Palace game I was at on Monday.
What a game, by the way. Oh,
unbelievable game. And then, of course, against Liverpool this weekend.
OK, well, then that takes us to Roma against Shakhtar Donetsk. Roma do have the away goal, but go into the tie, 2-1 down.
They do. They also have, they'll have a very fresh Edin Dzeko, who didn't play this weekend for Roma in that 3-0 victory. They played Schick up front, who hasn't had much game time, so Dzeko should be back in the starting 11 for Roma. I'm also backing them to turn this around, saying that Shakhtar, we haven't touched on the Ukrainian league yet, but they got a 3-0 win at Vorskla on Friday night. Two goals for Facundo Ferreira, who's scored how many so far this season? 19 in 23 games, the Argentine. Marlos with a penalty. They're a very good team, Shakhtar. I mean, they were so organised. And the main thing I was hearing from people who covered the game was how impressed everyone was with Shakhtar's discipline, players like Bernard, who's promised for a long time to deliver, the Brazilian wide man. But I'm still think Roma will have enough quality to get through this tie.
I mean, one of the issues with Shakhtar, and I realise they're in the Ukrainian league, but when I was growing up, East European club sides occasionally had brilliant teams. We're going to hear about Hajduk Split a little later in the programme, because their players under the communist regimes didn't travel and weren't playing in the West. So occasionally, you know, you'd have a Yugoslavian side or a Georgian side, sure, a Dynamo Tbilisi team. And all the rest of it that would come through. Now, what we have is a lot of money concentrated in Russia, And we see so much activity, players coming and going and top managers going there and all the rest of it, none of it which is reflected in these European tournaments, really.
No. I mean, we haven't really seen Russian teams do very well in Europe. We've got three in the round of 16, which is the most in the Europa League this year. But
well, there's a lot of East European teams in there. We'll talk about just a second. Exactly. But in some ways, it needs someone like Shakhtar or one of the Moscow teams if we're going to almost justify the amount of money being spent on Brazilian footballers to go through the last stages.
That's the thing, and you were talking earlier about how much of a mystery a lot of these teams were. They'd just come out of their countries and destroy an English club out of nowhere.
Retreat back over the border. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, of course, so this came to a peak, of course, when Red Star won the Champions League.
Sure.
You just thought, look at the bunch of players they've got.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like... And Steaua reached the final as well, didn't they? Steaua Bucharest.
Yes,
So they had these generations of good players who never left the country. Top coaches, as always in Eastern Europe. But I think, bizarrely, the move to capitalism and the money pumped in by oligarchs has not yet been reflected in these European tournaments.
No, and I think even Arsene Wenger had said, I think about 10, 15 years ago, that a Russian club will win it in the next 5 years. Mm. Like, there was general expectation that someone like Zenit, especially, who have won the UEFA Cup, would go on and succeed. And I mean, Shakhtar have been consistent performers in the Champions League. They've had good runs into knockout stages of competition, but they're not really a mystery Eastern European team. As you correctly said, it's a group of absolute bedazzling Brazilian superstars like Willian we see now and Fernandinho that we see now in the Premier League. And they have generally not... Eastern European coaches. Paulo Fonseca, of course, is the man in charge at Shakhtar Donetsk with them top of the table as well.
Linked with Everton.
Yes. Yeah.
The only name so far that if Allardyce does go, his name is the one that keeps bubbling
is
up.
Is it? All right. Okay, interesting.
Let's talk about Wednesday, of course, a live game here. First of all, let's say Besiktas. I'll get played by Bayern Munich. Nothing to see here. Which takes us on to the live game here on Talk Sport. And it could be a rip-roaring game of football. Barcelona against Chelsea, a 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge, but Chelsea by no means the worst team in that game.
No, they weren't. And it was that moment where I think it was Andreas Christensen played it across the ball across his own penalty area to the one man you really don't want to give, Iniesta, to supply Messi. What might worry if you're just tuning in is the fact that Lionel Messi didn't play this weekend in Barcelona's win at Malaga. So he's going to be fully fresh, buoyed by the birth of his third son. And I think Barcelona will get this one done as well. A lot of talk about Antonio Conte going to Paris Saint-Germain this week. Obviously, it's our poll today as well, and I think he's leading it currently. But the front page of L'Equipe said that Conte's agent's meeting with Paris Saint-Germain at some point this week as well. That's what the French papers are saying. I think we're pretty sure he's leaving at the end of the season, and I think Barcelona will edge this one at the Camp Nou.
Yeah, and let's say that game is live for you. It's a 7:45 kickoff, but join us about 7 o'clock for all the build-up of that game between Barcelona and Chelsea. I've left some minutes, actually, 5 or so minutes, because I really do want to get into the Europa League, because after the first round of ties, several of them are absolutely acutely balanced. Not Lokomotiv and Atletico. Atletico is 3-0 up in that one. Not Pilsen and Sporting Lisbon. I think Lisbon have too much, having won 2-0 at home. Arsenal, brilliant performance by Arsenal at a previously very, very good AC Milan, but the Gunners will go through there. Lyon are one up against Cisca, but the other ties are all incredibly narrowly balanced. Athletic Bilbao and Marseille, 3-1 up to Marseille, but that away goal for Bilbao could easily come into play.
It certainly could. A ludicrous penalty really given for a handball against Adil Rami. The penalty taken by Aris Adaris, scored by Aris Adaris, unsurprisingly. And that gives Bilbao hope. What I will say about Marseille's performance in the first leg was the brilliance of Dimitri Payet, who scored an incredible goal himself where the ball was whipped into the box, not cleared properly, chested it, volleyed it, top corner. He was creating numerous chances for Ocampos, who scored for Marseille tonight in their game against Toulouse, which
they could very much do with another.
Absolutely right. Florian Thauvin is in blisteringly good form. He looks a shadow of the player who tried to make it in the Premier League. T-shirt, time for the T-shirt. Mm-hmm. And I think Marseille will still eke this one out. But Athletic Bilbao, as Leganés are finding out tonight, 2-0 down there, are a tough prospect at San Mamés. So that will be tight, I think, even though it's 3-1 to Marseille.
And speaking of clubs who were big back in the day in the old Soviet Empire, Dinamo Kiev up against Lazio is very finely poised. That 2-2 draw in Italy totally surprised me.
Yep, very impressive result from the Ukrainian side, who are not keeping pace with Shakhtar quite at the moment in the Ukrainian Premier League. In Ciro Immobile, I mean, we've talked about him already, 24 league goals. I want to say he's into the mid-30s now in all competitions, largely down to his Europa League form. I still think that Lazio will do enough there, but 2-2 away from home, that is a tricky situation for them.
Let me just say that amazing goal by Ciro Immobile is on your Twitter feed, isn't
yeah,
it?
Rob T. Daily, yeah,
Rob T. Daily. Go there now, and we're too lazy to put it on Talk Sport, but you can go to Rob T. Daily, and you'll be. Well, we are. Let's be frank.
Yeah, let's just be honest. Come on.
Absolutely. Come on. Rob T. Rob, put it up there and drive people there. You'll have a 250,000 followers.
Oh, I'd love that.
Very, very quickly. I guess to say, I expect Lisbon with their 2-0 win to win in Pilsen. Zenit St. Petersburg against RB Leipzig. Now, Leipzig handily placed to qualify for the Champions League, but this would be a good competition for them to go a long way in. They've got their work cut out at Zenit.
They do, of course. Leipzig's first ever European campaign. Naby Keita, by the way, Danny, on Leipzig, has rediscovered his form. He was absolutely wonderful against Zenit on Thursday, creating a very good goal for Timo Werner.
They were on his way to Liverpool, for those who have forgotten. Yeah, he's already signed.
So 2-0 up at that point, and Domenico Crescito, the Italian defender who's leaving Zenit, I think he said this week at the end of the season, flicked in a glorious free kick, really against the run of play, but it gives Roberto Mancini's side a massive lifeline. And Mancini, you know, who's been, I think, sort of flirting around the Italian job and suggesting that maybe he's a candidate for it long term, he really needs a good aspect to his season, because Zenit are short domestically in the Russian Premier League. They're probably not going to win that. A good run in Europe would remind everyone about him. So that goes to Zenit's new stadium on Thursday.
Well, this is what I'm looking forward to, because I suspect both those clubs need progress in the Europa League to say we are progressing as clubs.
Absolutely right.
Let's talk about another one then. The shock result of the first, I mean, with all due respect to Arsenal's victory in the San Siro, the shock result of the round of 16 first legs, where Dortmund lost to Red Bull Salzburg. Sorry, RB, not that to call that. RB Salzburg.
Well, I'm not sure if we can do it for them. I don't know if it's banned in Austria, so I think they can be Red Bull Salzburg, unlike RB Leipzig, which are Rasenballsport Leipzig.
But yeah, they did win 2-1 in Dortmund.
Amazing result, and they did deserve it from what I saw. Two goals from Valon Berisha put Red Bull Salzburg ahead. Dortmund pulled one back through Ondo Schürrle, who's found his form again. Interesting about Valon Berisha, a player who I interviewed a few years ago when he was part of the Norway national team. Went to Oslo, interviewed him and Mats Møller-Dahle, who was formerly at Cardiff. And he now plays for Kosovo. He's one of these who's switched since Kosovo were given UEFA accreditation. But I was asking him about playing for Salzburg and why they were able to keep hold of very good players, because the Austrian Bundesliga, you know, nowhere near as good as the German Bundesliga. And he said that he was talking particularly about a striker, Jonathan, at the time, who's scoring loads of goals. And he says, it's just such a nice club and place and lifestyle and everything, that many players, even though they could earn more money, just think, no, we want to stay. And that's how Salzburg build a good team, and it's how they're able to compete with Borussia Dortmund, a side that has infinitely more resources than they do.
Yeah, I mean, Austrian football never quite steps up to any particularly high standard, and the clubs don't do that well in Europe, but I always have a soft spot for them from the days when they were led the curve as football started to bring in more advertising and sponsorship. It was Austrian clubs who absolutely led the race when you were still at school. Particularly things like the clubs to change their name every 2 years, depending on who the sponsor were. And Salzburg and Rapid Vienna became all kinds of other things, Cornflakes Vienna and stuff like that. And as well, remember in the days in Formula One when they used to have 20 different sponsors on their flame retardant suits?
Yeah.
Austrian League often had 10, 12 different sponsors on the shirt. They really went for it. I suppose to try and catch up with the Bundesliga.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure that they've done that yet. So that's our preview of what's coming up in the Champions League and the Europa League. And don't forget that game on Wednesday night. A massive, massive game. Live from the Nou Camp. Barcelona against Chelsea. That's live here on Talk Sport. And, of course, part of the fallout of the Champions League in recent days is that Paris Saint-Germain will definitely be looking for a new manager come the summer. Unai Emery will be on his way. And we've asked you, from a field of about a dozen international superstar managers, who should be and who will be the next manager of Paris. At the moment, on the poll, which is at Talk Sport, at Danny Kelly Words, or at Rob T. Daily on Twitter, all three of the places you can vote. At the moment, Maurizio Pochettino, 15% of you. Diego Simeone, 17%. Arsene Wenger, 29%. But Antonio Conte, way out in front at the moment with 39%. But you can go to all those places on Twitter that I just mentioned and vote now. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round and get too fine. I'm not the man they think I am at home. In the middle of the week, after Cristiano Ronaldo's two fantastic goals for Real Madrid, his coach Zinedine Zidane, no slouch himself, said that he thought that the Real Madrid striker came from another galaxy. That's why our song homework tonight is songs about space and planets and stuff like that. This, of course, is Elton John, Rocket Man. You can text your request still to 81089 and tweet me directly at Danny Kelly Words. Rob, getting quite tense now at the San Siro. It's still Inter nil, Napoli nil. I presume both coaches now making their changes.
Yeah, Marek Hamsik has just been brought off by Napoli. He's only scored 6 goals this season, and I just wonder if they're thinking we really need a bit more of a goal-scoring threat. Zielinski comes on into midfield in place of him. Napoli just had a very good chance. 20 minutes to go there at San Siro at 0-0. Dries Mertens' edge of the penalty area, cut into his right foot. Tried to curl it into the corner, but actually just hit it flat past the post. So still 0-0 currently in Milan.
Yeah, as I say, with Juventus' fantastic win during the weekend, they, Napoli, every point is critical now in the race for the Italian title. They would, you know, it's a difficult place to go and get those points at Inter, but they really will be looking to get a win in the last 19 minutes of that game. We'll keep you bang up to date everything that's happening. Marseille probably need to do better than they're doing as well. It's Toulouse 1, Marseille 1 after an hour there, and 2 early goals for Athletic Bilbao still sees them 2 goals up against Leganés in Spain. We'll get the latest from Portugal as soon as we can. It's time now, though, for a very special, I'm looking forward to this hugely, European football cult hero.
Incredible! Incredible, Zlatan Ibrahimovic!
Ronaldo! That's magnificent!
Get it back up! Get it back up! Get it back up!
Zinedine Zidane!
Yeah, now this is a player who played for some pretty big clubs, including a long, long spell at, a reasonably long spell at Barcelona. Tell us about the player you're going to talk about tonight.
So this week we're going for Enrico Castro, better known as Keeney, a former Barcelona and Spain striker who died last week, aged 68.
Okay, and so the fact that he of his recent death that has brought the amazing story of his career on and off the field into the limelight. And why don't you just take us through it?
So started at Sporting Gijón, signed for Barcelona. Went back to Sporting Gijón at the end of his career, won many titles. There's great clips of him on YouTube that I was scouring through today, playing with Maradona. He was nicknamed the Wizard, scored something like 219 goals in 448 games over the course of his career. Spain international, and won a number of titles as well with Barcelona, not a league title.
No.
And
UEFA Cup in 82, I think, it was probably
exactly
the height
right.
of his career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, part of the reason he didn't win the league title is because of a very bizarre set of circumstances that happened, I think, in 1984, when he was actually kidnapped. He was driving along parked over.
I'll just make sure, on behalf of the listeners listening on Crackley Medium Wave, he was kidnapped.
He was kidnapped after a defeat to Hercules, and he was about to get in his car, head home, and two guys pointed a gun at him and said, get in the van. So
The word van is the clue here that things aren't going well, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So he was actually kidnapped for 25 days. Can you imagine this? So like Barcelona's, one of Barcelona's absolute star players, was kidnapped for 25 days. Now, his abductors were a bit bungly, a bit home alone, bad guy kind of thing, because when they actually had kidnapped him and were looking for a ransom, they didn't quite know who to call. Do you call the Barcelona president? They didn't have a number for him. So eventually Keeney gave him the number for his wife and said, well, you best phone her. That's a starting point.
He's having to give the kidnapper instructions on how you do the extortion.
Unbelievable. So
God bless him. They
asked for a huge amount of money, and they were on the phone to negotiators because it was going to be paid. And they said, oh, we want 10 million, whatever. They'd already agreed it. And the guy said, you said 100 million before. And he went, oh, yeah, yeah, 100 million. That's what I meant, 100 million. We want 100 million. So they couldn't even remember the actual ransom they asked for and nearly divided it by 10. Eventually, they were caught. It took 25 days. Barcelona had to play in the meantime without him. They lost 3 and 4 games. They lost their grip on the league title, conceding essentially to Real Sociedad. Police found him, you know, unshaven in the in a basement, I think, in these where these guys were keeping him. And just a truly bizarre story. And I sort of half knew the story. And then you start to read the details. Great piece as well by Sid Lowe in The Guardian on this, yeah, in the last few days. And you're just like, I don't know how this... how this happened. Now,
imagine, I mean, this is in living memory. Imagine a Barcelona player, the leading goal scorer at the club, being kidnapped now. Imagine the furore. Yeah. Imagine the stuck international... He wouldn't have been... Well, I mean, there's no place in Catalonia that you could hide him, is there?
No, so he was locked in the basement of a car workshop in northeast Zaragoza. That's where they decided to have him, but he came out, and a few
but
days
he was okay. That's the
he was okay.
Thing.
He was,
yeah,
okay. And 4 days later, he insisted on playing again, but they said no, you can't play. It's way too soon. And they did eventually go on to win the cup that year. He scored against his former club, Sporting Gijón. So ultimately, a happy ending. And after his career, he stayed. He went back to Sporting Gijón, 5 times top scorer in Spain. And he went back to Sporting Gijón, where he basically worked as an ambassador type figure around the football club until he had a heart attack near his home. Not too long ago, a few days ago.
And I think the final cherry on this cake is that he said afterwards that he forgave the kidnappers.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite bits. There was a lot of nice comments about him, Danny, and David Villa, Andres Iniesta, Lionel Messi were all saying the most sincere, nice things about him. Oviedo born and very humble and incredibly forgiving, because I don't think I could do that.
Well, and thank you very much for giving us the ins and outs there of an amazing story, our European cult football hero Keeney, and for reminding us there were days not so long ago when Real Sociedad could win the title.
Exactly
in
right.
Spain.
Yeah.
incredible Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Now then, as they used to say, it's happening in Portugal. Porto losing at Ferreira.
Yes, 1-0 as things stand. Porto playing in the evening kickoff. Of course, they were held to that 0-0 draw by Liverpool in the week. Actually, restored a bit of respectability
They're into the first 5 minutes of the second half, so 50 minutes in. And that result, if it holds, will have huge ramifications.
Miguel Vieira with the opening goal there.
We'll talk to you about Portugal in just a little while. But now it's time remember, of course, every game from the World Cup in Russia is live here on TalkSport. But if you have the pleasure of going out there, then... you'll want to know about every stadium and every city and town where the World Cup is being held. Who better to tell you than Britain's leading travel expert, Simon Calder?
Stadium 1. Stadium.
Top prize for the best name of a stadium has to go to the one in Saransk, the Mordovia Arena. Mordovia sounds like a made-up Eastern Bloc country. In fact, it's a real Eastern Bloc country, a republic in the middle of Russia. And among the 44,000 fans will be lots of Mordvin people who fall into two tribes, those who speak Moshka and those whose mother tongue is Ezia. Anyway, work on the Mordovia Arena began in 2010, the 1,000th anniversary, as you'll recall, of the unification of the Mordovian people with Russia's other ethnic groups. The stadium is right in the rather bleak heart of downtown. You'll spot it as the very large orange object, like a stadium sponsored by EasyJet, might look. To show how thin the population is after the World Cup, the capacity will shrink to just 25,000, which is still rather more than the average home gate for FC Mordovia Saransk, whose home ground it will become.
Матчи, которые нужно посмотреть. matches to see.
It's not going to be the most exciting venue for matches. Let's have a look at what we've got. 16th of June, Group C, Peru versus Denmark, okay. Group H on the 19th of June, Colombia versus Japan. And I think there might be some interest in Group B on the 25th of June, Iran versus Portugal. But ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the least popular game of the entire tournament. 28th of June, 2018, in Saransk, in the Mordovia Stadium, Panama versus Tunisia in Group G. By that stage, let's hope England and Belgium are already at the top, and this is just who is going to come third rather than fourth in Group G. We'll see. And that's your lot. After that, Mordovia, Saransk goes back to normal life, which, trust me, is not as much fun as you might hope.
Рейтинг путешествий Talksport. Talksport Travel Rating.
It's been a struggle to find any reason to go to Saransk. I've got the 800-page Lonely Planet Guide to Russia, and they don't even mention it. FIFA says there are many museums in the Republic. The largest ones include the Mordovian Republican United Museum of Regional Studies and the Museum of Mordvinian Culture in Saransk. I think perhaps more appealing is the fact that the airport is only 2 miles from the city centre, so if you do find yourself there, you can get out quick. And if you find yourself looking for something to do before that great Panama-Tunisia match, there's the Lenin Cultural Park. Yay! But you'll need somewhere to stay. And on TripAdvisor, someone has actually written, how can the World Cup be given to Russia and be put up in a city like Saransk if they don't have hotel rooms? Well, there is going to be a brand new Mercure Saransk hotel. I can't see beds available even for the night of the Panama-Tunisia game. TalkSport Travel Rating out of 5 for Saransk. I'm not allowed to give it 0, so I'll give it 1 reluctant star.
I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was out. I was dancing when I was out.
No point in me being at the controls, is there, unless I get my choice. This is T-Rex and Cosmic Dancer, as we do more songs about space, planets, etc., celebrating Zidane's comment about Cristiano Ronaldo that he's from another galaxy. This is Mark and the Boys.
Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself right out.
Now, following us tonight at 10, Sean Custis, Martin Lipton and Mike Parry are along with the headliners, Premier League cult heroes. I wonder where they got that idea from. I hear it's a good show, though. OK, Rob Daly, we've got to get through a lot of European leagues now. You've also promised us that you can explain Belgium, which will, if you do, I'm going to make you're going to be the recipient of the first ever Trans-Europe Express medal. I'm going to get a medal struck, and next time you're in, I will present it to you formally, because that's important. And we've got to, we're trying to get to the bottom of what's going on in Greek football, as we are every week.
Oh, dear me.
I mean, we're hearing that the word madness has been put into my into my headphones about what's going on. We'll leave Greece till last, because I need people to try and gather up exactly what's going on there. Let's start in Turkey. Well, very close race for the title. What's been going on there?
OK, hold on. Let me get the list. There's too much going on here. I'll chuck the Greece out. Let's get Turkey going. OK, so Galatasaray have won this afternoon. They got a 2-1 victory over Konyaspor.
Late.
Bafadimi Gomis on the score sheet. He got the goal for 1-1. Late goal for Galatasaray. And they're now top by a clear 3 points because Istanbul Besiktas here, favourite of this show, somehow lost 4-1 to Alanyaspor on Friday night. Alanyaspor in the bottom half of the table. An incredible victory for them. And it leaves Istanbul Besiktas here, who missed out, of course, last year to Besiktas for that league title. Now chasing them down 3 points behind them. But it's still incredibly tight up there.
Yeah, Besiktas won, which means that... and Fenerbahce won as well. So yeah, that means the top four are covered by 6 points as they head into the latter stages of the race there for the title in Turkey. Portugal, Sporting play tomorrow. Benfica beat Deportivo Aves 2-0. And we thought, well, it'd be business as usual tonight with Porto playing. But as last time we looked, Ferreira were beaten by a goal to nil.
Yeah, Passos de Ferreira, second bottom in the Portuguese Premier Liga. And they are winning.
That just doesn't 1-0. Happen in Portugal.
No, Miguel Vieira with the only goal so far.
I wonder
so
if
far.
A roof will come off one of the stands and they have to replay the last half hour.
You'd imagine so. I mean, yeah. Look, that last week we saw that victory for Porto against Sporting and you're thinking, wow, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Benfica win. If they do lose tonight, 2 points the gap between Porto and Benfica. Very much on. Jonas scoring for Benfica, by the way, this weekend. 31 goals in the league this season for Benfica.
And if Pacos do hold on, that'll be the first defeat of the season for Porto. So this is a huge, huge half an hour.
Absolutely right.
For the team currently top of the table. Now, have we got the fanfare ready? Because every year, as you know, here on Trans-Europe Express, there comes a point where the Belgium League, which meanders along quite happily, some good players do their thing and goals are scored and teams are threatened relegation and teams have good runs and all the rest of it. Around this time of the year, it blows itself into 1 million pieces, which is never explicable, even by very intelligent people. But tonight, Rob Daly has said he understands it. Mm. So, Rob, are we ready to do the Belgian League? He says he knows what's happening. Millions say, no, you don't, you're a fool. But right now, with the aid only of a slightly pink-coloured notebook, Rob Daly, what is happening in Belgium next week?
Right, I think I've got it. I think I've got it. So earlier on today, I was stood at the back of a control room from a 1980s film about spaceships, just trying to, like, the whole team, we were trying to crack it.
Right.
I think we've got it. And forgive me if I waffle on.
Yeah. Did you get that? Waffle on Belgium.
16 teams in the Belgian Pro League. The top six go into the championship group. Their points are halved. They play each other twice. The winner of that wins the league. That's easy. That's not too bad.
Stop there. Hold on 1 second. I don't mean to distract you, but a very important goal. Mitroglou has scored for Olympique Marseille, set up by Dimitri Payet. That puts them 2-1 up there at Toulouse. Toulouse 1, Marseille 2 is now the score there in France. Mitroglou with that goal after about 70 minutes. Please carry on, Rob. Sorry.
Okay, so that's pretty simple. The halving of the points is a bit mad. And if you get a sort of 0.5, you get it rounded up. Right.
Right.
Okay, so 16th just gets relegated. You're gone. Forget it. You don't get to play again now for the rest of the season.
So two-thirds of the way through the season, I just say, you are, I won't use the word, and you go, yeah?
Yeah.
So what do they do with the rest of the year?
I think they just, I don't know. They're gone. I mean, they can't play any more football, unless they're still in the cup, but I don't think they are.
Okay. So who is that, by the way?
It's Mechelen. Okay. So Mechelen are gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so now 7th to 15th play in the European League. But they're joined by three teams from the second tier, but not the top team. The second, third, fourth team going to that. So now we have 12 teams. They split into two groups of six. The winners
Why?
Are the... Hold on. I'll get there. It doesn't make sense. The two groups of six, the winners of those play each other. That doesn't get you into Europe. You then have to play the team, one of the teams that finished either third, fourth or fifth in the championship group. Then you have a playoff for that and that gets you into Europe.
And if I've followed you, and I don't believe I have, but if I have followed you, what happens to the team on currently top of the second level?
So the second tier is not, you don't play one season. You play two seasons over the course of a season. So you play a September to December, a January to March.
An apertura and a clausura, right, as we're used to in Argentinian football.
So you get two league champions.
Yeah.
They play each other in a playoff. And that team replaces the side that got relegated in 16th.
How did this league produce the crop of players we currently see playing for Belgium?
Well, this was brought in, right? So, because they've all played 30 games now, so this happens as of next weekend. Because the top clubs in Belgium thought that the league was too rubbish and that simply they needed strong competition to compete in Europe.
Yeah.
Ironically, they all think it's rubbish now. The current TVD deal runs to 2020, unlikely to change before then.
And Belgium's coefficient is almost invisible.
Exactly. And it's just...
Well, thank you. That was both, I imagine, correct.
If you followed that,
no,
I mean, bless you.
No, no, the courage it took to do it was one thing. But nobody understands it, let's be honest.
Could you see the panic in my eyes?
It was very, very good indeed.
Good.
Talk to me about then Holland, where...
All right,
I mean,
that's easier.
It's
not as hard.
PSV, we were saying last week, running away with the title. They got beat today by five goals to... Yesterday, by five goals to nil by a team flirting with relegation.
Willem Twee. breeding ground of Sammy Hippie, of course, who Liverpool signed him from. 5-0 win for them. Fran sold the Spaniard with a hat-trick. I didn't see the game. No. I don't know why that happened. PSV still overwhelming favourites for the title, but that will knock their confidence for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Ajax, we should say, who are the only team even within remote touching distance of them, they had a good win, beating Heerenveen by 4-0, which takes us on to Greece. Now, we've been following the Greek football. I'm always... it's a very close race for the title. It's also in the courts. It's also in the corridors of the Greek Football Association. And as of now, it's also the centre of what I think could be one of the big stories in European football. I don't just mean in Greek football, but in European football for months to come. First of all, let's just say what's been going on with that, about the points deductions and all the rest of it surrounding Olympiacos.
So if things aren't mad enough, PAOK had 3 points taken away from them and were told they were going to play two games behind closed doors because of an object was thrown at the Olympiacos head coach Oscar Garcia during a recent game, and he was injured in that. But that's been overturned.
Get somebody on. If we can get a reporter on, we'll try to. Reports reaching us are suggesting the reason why the game's been stopped for an hour is that PAOK got a late goal which was controversially disallowed, leading to fans and even the club's owner running onto the pitch. Reports are saying that the owner appeared to be waving a firearm and that the Ike players then ran off to the dressing room. The play is still suspended, as far as we know, and reports are saying that the PAOK owner has said to the referee, "You're dead." Even Yikes. By the standards of Greek football, you know, and I like to have a laugh Ooh. About it, this is too much. But the game has not yet been called off or abandoned. He's at the moment in a state of suspension, and we'll try before the top of the hour to get somebody on to talk about exactly what's happening there in Greece. Because it's an absolutely critical game in the race for the title, but hardly worth what appears to be going on there right now. We'll try and find out more if we can. We'll move on very quickly to Poland, where I very rarely have the headline, Welshman Sacked.
Gear change. Okay, so Adam Owen, Welsh coach of Lechia Gdansk. As we were practicing in the office before, Adam Owen, who was part of the Welsh setup with Chris Coleman, who got the job back in September 2017 as head coach. He brought Lee McCulloch over with him as well, analyst Matt Newton. They've all been sacked after a poor run of form. So credit to him, British coach, trying his luck on the continent, but it hasn't worked out. Only 6 months in charge, and he's lost his job.
Final whistle's gone, the San Siro. That game, I think, has ended 0-0. Got so excited about Greece, I think I missed the scoreline. I suspect, by the way, the players are kissing and hugging each other. That game has ended 0-0. Somebody just confirm that for me, please, through the glass. And that takes us on 2.5 years of the award-winning and now multi-award-winning. Yes, it was 0-0 in San Siro. Not the best result for Napoli. Over 2.5 years of doing, I say, the multi-award winning Trans-Europe Express. Mm. And we have not previously mentioned Hajduk Split. When I was a lad, they would occasionally, one of those East European teams that would emerge from the obscurity of the Iron Curtain, whack some British team 3-0 and then disappear again. Technically brilliant, gifted players. But they're back in the news.
They are, because they've got a very promising young goalkeeper, Carlo Letica, who is a Croatia under-21 international, over 2 metres tall. And he's been linked with Real Madrid. So there's a lot of excitement around him at the moment. Now, Hajduk Split chasing down Dinamo Zagreb for the title. 2-2. It's the last minute, Danny. In fact, it's 5 minutes into added time. You don't want to draw against Istra. You chuck your goalkeeper forward. Uh-huh. And sure enough, Carlo Letica has smashed in a fine header to win them the game. And his celebration was great, Danny. He just, inside the penalty box, rather than just running off, because goalkeepers don't know what to do they, when they score, he just stood there and just put his arms out. It's a bit Cantona-like, and his teammates mobbed him. So, I mean, Real Madrid don't need more goals, but if they want a goalkeeper and could score them, perhaps Carlo Letica is the answer.
Yeah, and of course, that would be a massive upgrade in the long run from their current goalkeeper in terms of size, wouldn't it?
It certainly will. I mean, he's not the tallest, of course, Keylor Navas.
No, he's not.
And I think Real Madrid are looking for a new one, aren't they?
Absolutely. And just since we're on that subject, very briefly, you speak of great neutrality here, but I know you're a Liverpool fan. What did you make of Klopp not allowing Karius to go up for the late corners at Liverpool?
Yeah, just do it. Why not? I mean, why not? What, they score again? It doesn't matter.
You're already losing the game, yeah.
I saw the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a game. I think it was Rubin Kazan against Atletico. Atletico losing 1-0 at home. It was very early in Simeone's reign, and he sends his goalkeeper forward for a corner. It's first leg. They're losing 1-0 at home. He sends the goalkeeper forward. Sure enough, Rubin get the ball. Gökdeniz Karadeniz scores at the other end. I think it sort of dawns on Simeone,
oh, there's a second leg of this. We didn't need to do this. And they won the second leg 1-0 and went out.
But it is not that unusual a thing for goalkeepers, we all remember Jimmy Glass, to do chaotic things and to either score or contribute to a goal. And I was really surprised, particularly as Liverpool had got such a head of steam up in that last 15 minutes at Old Trafford. I was surprised that Klopp was waving him back. You're listening to Trans Europe Express. We've still got our World Cup preview coming up for you, which will be coming up very, very soon. We will try, can't promise, and we will try to get the latest from what sounds like extraordinary events in Greece tonight as AK Athens and PAOK, I daren't use the word, fight for the 3 points towards trying to be champions in Greece. So you're listening to Rob Daly and me, Danny Kelly, here on Trans Europe Express.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
You know the rules. If you start doing songs about space, you're sacked. Unless you do, you play Space Oddity by David Bowie. Even though there's an argument, Starman's a far better record, isn't there?
Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7, 6.
Commencing countdown. Engines on.
The technological advance here of a protein pill, everybody.
2. Check ignition. 1. And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom.
We really are trying as best we can to find out what's going on in Greece. Oh, we have got someone. So we're going to put them on now or give us 2 minutes? Okay, we're going over now to Greek football expert Graham Wood. Good evening, Graham.
Good evening, Graham.
Thank you for joining me, Rob, and the listeners. Obviously, we're often laughing about some of the goings-on in Greek football, but tonight's events sound way off the scale, even by the standards of that very, very volatile league. Can you tell us what's happened in this game between AEK and PAOK?
Well, it's absolute chaos. Actually, the match itself was a rare, really good advert for Greek football, but in the 90th minute, the home side PAOK scored a goal, which was then ruled a few minutes later offside. And then after that, chaos reigned and the PAOK bench and their owner came on the field. He was actually seen with a pistol strapped to his belt and making alleged threats to the referees and the officials that they're finished and they're dead and this kind of stuff. So it's just been absolute. There's been brawling, there's been absolute chaos, and the referee pulled all the players off the pitch with a little 2-hour wait where we're just trying to see what's going to happen. Is the game going to continue after an
so,
hour?
So, Graham, let me understand this. The game has not yet been officially abandoned and the score is still 0-0. Is that correct?
So, yes, the score is 0-0 and they've just confirmed now, just a few moments ago, that the match is not going to continue. That's basically the situation now. 0-0, and they've abandoned the game.
So presumably it has to be played again?
Well, we don't know. Usually it depends on the reasons that the match has been called off. I mean, if it's because of Ike claiming that they're afraid and there's a kind of, you know, some kind of, in quotation marks, terrorism involved or physical threat, then maybe AEK will take the game on paper. We just don't know what the referee... We have to wait for the referee's report, which will probably be published tomorrow or later on in the early hours of this morning, until we find out what exactly will happen, if it's going to be played again or not.
Well, of course, we've had trouble with PAOK recently, haven't we, Graham, with the game against Olympiacos, where Oscar Garcia was hit by an object from the stands, and in that case, Olympiacos were awarded all 3 points.
Exactly. Well, it's just been absolute chaos for the past couple of weeks. I mean, that was the last home game. So this is the second home game PAOK had in a row, which has been cancelled. And actually, in that game against Olympiacos, there was a court appeal this week, and they actually won it. So they won the points back, and they just lost the match on paper 3-0. And there was a lot of controversy in the media about that decision, that it shouldn't have been reversed because they went by the rule book. It's just absolutely chaos. It's Great. And it's such a shame.
It is, because we keep remarking here on Trans Europe Express that it's a brilliant race for the league title in Greece. But as they headed towards this, the closing stages, it has all, I mean, to use a totally inappropriate word, kicked off. Now, Graham, I want to thank you so much for coming on here. We were desperate to get somebody who knew what was going on. And in that five minutes, you've given us an exact... Thank you very much. That's Graham Wood, Greek footballer. Graham, are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am indeed.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Graham_Wood79.
Graham_Wood79, if you want to follow Graham on Twitter there and find out all the latest from Greek football. Well, I think we have to put back our World Cup guide for a week, because that's taken up a chunk of time, but I think it's well worth doing, which means I think we should go back to our poll, because I think you've got some thoughts on this, Rob Daly. The poll is, who is going to be the next manager, or who should be the next manager of PSG following their calamitous departure from the Champions League? And we've suggested the following names. 15% of you have gone for Maurizio Pochettino, 17% for Diego Simeone, 29% for Arsene Wenger, and 39%, get it right, Danny, for Antonio Conte. Okay, but other names came into it, but you're not sure that we're barking up the right tree here.
Well, I suggested them, so it's my fault, but I'm looking at the previous one. So
the show.
PSG's problem is winning the Champions League, right? That's the problem. Winning the league isn't a problem. They're going to do that under Unai Emery. So they're looking at coaches. I mean, Conte, Simeone, Pochettino are the ones really linked with the job.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have won the Champions League. In the last few years, these are the names. Zidane has been linked with it. Luis Enrique, currently unemployed. Heinkes, Guardiola, Roberto Di Matteo, Carlo Ancelotti, Jose Mourinho, and Rafa Benitez, going back to 2005. Mm-hmm. So if the problem is winning this competition and finding a coach, why don't they just really go for Luis Enrique? Why don't they put the squeeze on Zidane if things don't work out at Real Madrid this season in terms of the Champions League, which defines their season? It's going to be very interesting, because the thinking was with Unai Emery, he's won the Europa League. He's won the Europa League a couple of times. He knows what to do in Europe. The Europa League and the Champions League are different things. It's a much higher level of football. So I just wonder what PSG are going to do. But as we mentioned, French media convinced Conte's the man.
Okay, listen, thank you very, very much, Dean. And thank you for everything you've done in the last little while.
Great fun, Danny.
On the Trans Europe Express, which always flies by. Thanks to all of you for your help with the programme, particularly with the music and the polls. Let me just tell you that in Marseille have won by 2-1 at Toulouse. Good result for them. And Ferreira still beating Porto by 1-0 there in Portugal. Just 10 minutes left in that game. So that's in danger of being a real brick into the mill pond of the normally very quietly efficient Portuguese league. Thank you very much, as I say, to all of you for listening.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, Danny Kelly's Trans Europe Express on Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.